And we are on another episode of Elevate Today Podcast. I'm so happy to have listeners listening to this episode, to this show. Today, I'm with my bestie. I'm with my bestie. Welcome, Annie. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Nice to be back.
How does it feel?
Good. I mean, this was a very last minute podcast episode. Mm-hmm. Like 5 minutes ago, we decided, let's have a glass of wine and make a podcast.
It was podcast then glass of wine, though, if that makes a difference. Let's cheers.
Okay. Cheers.
It's really cool.
We're going to cheers and not drink.
Oh.
Right into the mic.
I did. No, it's really cool having a podcast and being able to share that with a friend and just the dream, the vision, the goal of what I want to get out of the podcast. And you've been there with me through so many different journeys of the development of this show. Mm-hmm. And so we talk so much about like how to help people, things that's needed in different worlds, like just being super open-minded, but then getting specific to situation and understanding, you know, dreams, purpose, peace, and thinking about the bigger things of life. So I'm like, one, very thankful to be able to share that with you, but two, like, that's what we're doing today. We're sharing some of those, like, natural conversations we have and, like, pure intention conversations that we will share today.
Yeah. I remember when you were still deciding on the name of your podcast. You were still deciding on, like, the image, like, the backdrop of it. You were texting me pictures from your journal. So the fact that you made it into reality pretty quickly, too. Like, it was impressive how quick you turned those ideas into action, right? So I'm really proud of you.
Thank you.
Before we started like this podcast, I was like, okay, what are we gonna talk about? Like, you talk about everything with everyone, so I'm trying to be like, okay, let's find a topic that mm-hmm. you haven't discussed yet.
Yeah, well, everyone's a master of their own passion and like thoughts. I feel like I'm able to talk about a lot of things, but it's interesting bringing people on and seeing what they're about.
Yeah.
And that's why, like, with you, I wanted to talk about like peace and like self-love and self-care. What was the other one?
Loneliness.
Right. Yeah. And just like those real things, because when I am around you, I find myself, I do have a lot more like peace, and then I prioritize my me time and I get out of this like work zone where I have to just be on top of everything, and I'm like, no, I should like enjoy myself a little bit. And that's something that you're like, you know, like a master, and you understand how to be self-aware and finding that peace in any situation, in every situation, when things are good and when things are bad.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's like a big thing I've been trying to learn, is that everything's going to be okay as long as you're putting in the work, putting in the time that you need to, not slacking off. And you, by any means, do not slack off. You don't even get enough sleep. I'm on her ass all the time. I'm like, you sleep for like, what, 5 hours? Four? Five?
Five to four to five. But like, I'm working on it. But like, there's so much to do.
And you have time.
And I have time, but the energy to wake up and have things to do, but then to go to bed early when there are things to do. Mm-hmm. I'm in this little season where I'm just so excited about things to do mm-hmm. that sleep is just needs to get up. It does.
Yeah.
I'll get there.
You need work on it. Okay. But should we start off talking about today at church?
Annie went to church with me for the first time, guys. This is big.
This is really, like, it was a big thing for me just because I haven't gone to any other, like, religious site besides my temple. Like, I'm Sikh, so I've just gone to the temple. I've been to a Mormon church once, but this was my first time going to a Christian church, and it was just completely new to me. I've seen you post things about it, but I did not expect most of that.
Yeah. What was it like for you? What were your first thoughts?
Well, this was her church in, what city was it?
It was in San Jose.
Okay, San Jose. It was just loud and energetic and very big, like so many people. There was a stage, music, singing, dancing, just like a lot of heart in it. It's not just singing and dancing, but the way they do it, the energy, the connectedness between everyone, despite age, gender, ethnicity, was so big because at my temple, like, the majority of the people are going to be Punjabi, like, Indian. Mm-hmm. Whereas at this church, the first thing I told you was, like, wow, there's so many different, like, ethnicities and types of people here. And it was, like, just different for me at, like, a religious site like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I always don't know what to expect when I bring friends from different religions or backgrounds because it is a lot. And at Redemption, they had a guest speaker and a guest worship guests, I think, because worship went like 30 minutes longer than it should have. Mm-hmm. Like, we were supposed to be in and out of there within an hour, and I think like 10 minutes till 1 or 10 minutes till 12 the pastor went up, so it was very long. And that's just because they felt like they needed to be in a moment longer. And I'm just like, this is of course the one that Andy comes to, where the pastors are just going off and you can feel the energy. But I'm glad you felt that intense energy. Mm-hmm. and like the, like, what you feel when you're listening to worship from people that are, like, what we call anointed. Mm-hmm. It was just, like, so alive. It just felt good. You saw me, like, moving and dancing. Yeah. Like, oh, shoot, I haven't been in this in a long time. It feels good.
I even turned next to you. I'm like, I know you want to sing at the top of your lungs. Like, go for it. Like, mm-hmm. just because I'm here doesn't mean you have to.
Yeah. Well, you know what's crazy? That used to be, like, 1,000% everything I would do all the time.
I know.
Doing missions.
Yeah.
So I'm, like, I'm glad you get a glimpse of that, because that's what... Like, worship, prayer, and word was a big part of my life. Like, my hours, like, 6 hours, mm-hmm. 7-8 hours a day just devoted to that. And so I'm learning how to find my balance with my faith now. But I'm glad you saw that, because that was everything I would do before.
Yeah, the underlying messages that were told were, like, amazing.
What did you get out of it?
Like, the messages or just the whole experience?
Both. What did you walk away with?
What did I walk away with? Okay. Well, the message was about letting God in by giving him that space. So that means sometimes you have to break down your walls to let him in, right? Because he's always going to be there for you. But if you don't take what he's given, like his gifts, and put it to use, then he's just going to give that gift elsewhere. I just had two different messages, because I'm still processing it from today. But I think that was a big one, is like, you know, God does give gifts to everyone, but the amount and, or like the quantity of it, I guess, is different for each person, because mm-hmm. everyone does have different circumstances. Equality is not actually real. Yep. You know,
100%.
Well, equality, yes, but equity is not real, because everyone is in different circumstances, financially, spiritually, with their family, etc. Oh, yeah. Right? So everyone's put in different conditions. But even if you are given that gift, like, it's up to you to use it and put it to work to, what's it called?
Further the kingdom?
Yeah. He was going more and more on about that. Maybe you could talk about it.
Yeah. No, you're spot on with what the whole message was about, though. Like, there, you have to keep pressing in when God gives you gifts. Mm-hmm. And the part is that we all have very unique and specific gifts, and God could be giving you an opportunity to display that gift and to walk in your purpose of what you're meant to do, but you're not aware. So you just keep letting opportunities pass you by.
Yeah.
And like that, for me, that's where I overthink, like my lack of integrity. And that could look like anything, because it can be, hey, I want to pray for you, or like, I just want to encourage you right now. Or it could be smiling, saying hello, or having that intention to bring love forward. Because it's true, every day we're given opportunities to be impactful, to be mm-hmm. a blessing, to inspire, to encourage, to prevent someone from doing harm to themselves. And like, God will give those opportunities to people, but it's a matter of if they take them or not.
Yeah.
And that's where I was like, I don't want to miss those opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's like might have been where we had a different in perspective. But the other part was like the gifts. We all carry very different gifts, but we have to press in, because if you don't use it, you lose it, is what he said.
Yeah.
And I really love that, because like there's pastors, there's worship leaders, there's prayer people, but then there's also coaches, teachers, students, doctors, like every sphere of influence should have that heart to realize like this is your gift, this is your purpose and your gift, like use it to be in alignment with love.
Mm-hmm.
And like, don't compare yourself, because God gave you a special gift unique to you and your desires and your dreams and your heart.
Yeah, that was well said. Honestly, just you asked me what I took away from it. I think just being aware of these kinds of things day to day is really nice. Obviously, the message is fresh, so it'll be fresh for the few days. But having those reminders, which is why people go to church every week, right? I'm not super religious, but I'm spiritual. So, like, I do connect with the messages that are being told. I just am not big on all the storytelling aspect of it. Mm-hmm. And all the, I don't want to say the extra things, mm-hmm. you know, that are surrounding the messages. Because the messages themselves are what really connect to my heart. So, in that way, it was different for me. Just because they were referencing to the Bible at different mm-hmm. different parts, you know. But it was a good experience. I'm glad I went, to be honest. Like, it was really good. It was a little longer than I thought.
That it was like 2 hours long. It was supposed to be an hour. That is very unexpected.
I know. I was like bending my knees and like my blood flow was like, I'm getting a little tired.
Yeah, worship is supposed to be like 20 minutes, and I'm pretty sure it was an hour.
Yeah.
So it's okay. Welcome to church.
I had fun. And you took me to Korean barbecue after, so.
Yes, we had our Korean barbecue thing. And something that's cute that me and Annie realized is that we're just gonna be more intentional about our time together. Mm-hmm. And not, you don't have to wait to go on special extravagant dates or for a special occasion. And that's part of our, like, our understanding and growth as ladies that are in that season of building a foundation, is what we called it.
Yeah.
Like, don't wait for life to happen to you. Go take the opportunities. And I think we talked about it once, and since then we've done such like cute little things, like cute little outings.
Yeah, like especially because it's like right before Valentine's Day.
Yeah,
so we deserve were celebrating a little.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that goes into like the whole topic of like loneliness, and especially in reference to like relationships, right? Mm-hmm. So Valentine's Day is in 2 days, almost one day, because it's nighttime right now.
Yeah.
And everyone is having like the same kind of emotional thought process. Guys probably don't even know Valentine's Day is in 2 days unless they're in a relationship. But girls are like, oh, I'm having a Galentine's Day. I don't care. I'm going to drink wine with my girls and watch Magic Mike. And
we were supposed to go watch Magic Mike today.
Girls. Well, I don't know what they're And then there's like this other group of people, you know, that like deep down want to have a shared Valentine's Day with a guy. Mm-hmm. And like have that intimate experience. And like, I guess this would go more towards just girls, because we can relate to that, is like, don't go looking for something, don't find a way to be with someone by the time Valentine's Day comes so you can share that special date with someone. Mm-hmm. But like, be fully present with yourself and what you know you need right now, and find a friend and just like spoil each other. Mm-hmm. Like you would with a guy, because that's seizing the moment and seizing special opportunities instead of making it related to a person until that time comes.
And honestly, friendships are a relationship, as you guys have seen with me and Hannah over and over again. But it is. It's like its own kind of romance. I don't know how it is between guys. I know y'all have like little bromances. Let's be real. But girls, definitely, like, I do plan on doing things with my housemates the day of Valentine's. We're having a Galentine's Day party the day after. And right now I'm saying, like, yeah, I don't really care if I'm celebrating with a guy. Like, it's just the day that people put meaning, like, they attach meaning to it. That's pretty much, like, a lot of different holidays like that. But who knows? Maybe the day of, I'm like, shit, like, I need a man. Because the thing is, you see everyone posting on social media. So I'm not going to be on social media that day. I'm probably just going to be at the gym at night. Let's be real. I'm going to have, you know, like the heart-shaped pizzas at Mountain Mike's. They do like heart-shaped pizzas. Yeah, so I'm going to get a heart-shaped pizza, drink some wine with my housemates. I'm going to have a blast.
That sounds beautiful. I think I'm just going to go to the gym.
Yeah, we're just going to be at the gym.
Yeah, that's where I'm happiest.
Me too.
How do you face loneliness?
Loneliness as in not having a partner, or just loneliness overall? Because I don't feel alone.
I think that's the point. I mean, like, let's face it. Mm-hmm. if we're truthful, everyone is single, and every relationship, a lot of relationships, you could tell are struggling a little bit. And we also know people that have been through breakups. So all that means is really we're just hearts, souls, spiritual beings that crave to be, to share that space with another person, you know, like, yes, we want to give love and we want to receive love.
Okay.
Yeah. So how do you, what do you have to say to someone that's been in the space where like, I want to give and receive love, but I don't know how, and I, this guy doesn't like me back, or I don't like anyone, but like, what do I do with my heart?
Honestly, that's so relatable to me right now, because I've told you so many times, like, I'm such a giving and loving person. So once I was out of my relationship, I just have so much love to give to someone. Mm-hmm. Like, I love doing that for someone. And I guess I've channeled that through friendships, like towards you, you know. Mm-hmm. We kind of hit all five love languages, including like a physical touch, quality time, gift giving. What are the other two?
Words of affirmation.
Words of affirmation.
Acts of service.
Acts of service. Yeah. We kind of do hit all five, which, mm-hmm, is impressive. But I channel it through friendships, meaningful friendships. Like my housemate, Andrea, and I have gotten super close. And she lives with me, which is really nice because you're over here 2 hours apart, which isn't bad because we see each other, what, like twice a month.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, I've just been channeling it through that. But in terms of being alone, you have to learn to enjoy time just by yourself. So there were days where I would just go out to the mall by myself, go shopping, get food, maybe boba. And I would truly enjoy those days. And once you find joy in that and being by yourself, being alone, that's when you know you're growing. Because let's be real, no one likes to be alone, right? But you're not always going to be dating someone. You're not always going to have someone along by your side. So being able to, it's really a skill attached to that, mm-hmm, being alone. But I get that because even I want to have a partner, right? But we were talking about this earlier. The best things come when you least expect it. So in the meantime, you just have to be at your best, keep growing as an individual, because if you're not strong individually, how do you expect to have a strong relationship where you don't have those insecurities blocking your way, right? Because, mm-hmm, insecurities can really mess up a relationship.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think like really facing the reality of the fact that a lot of us are going through the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that like we all can feel bad for ourselves, feel like there's nothing to do, you know, just stay emo, be emo.
Stay emo.
Scroll on your phone and feel bad for yourself. But like you really want to think of this as a time to build your foundation and learn to love yourself and learn to know what's worth fighting for when you're into your next relationship, and know what like you have to offer as well as what you have to protect in your next relationship. And like empowerment, that's how you should feel, like strong by yourself, knowing that you're not going to be by yourself forever. But just because you're lonely, that doesn't mean that you should settle for the first person that will give you that time, attention, and, you know, all of those five love languages.
Yeah.
But to be truly like, okay, like I'm doing this on my own. I don't want to chase short dopamine fixes. Like I have friendships that are super empowering. I am like able to be by myself and take myself shopping and be happy and strong and empowered and not, yeah, have to be like, oh, I just like want attention. I want someone with me. We always want a little bit more attention, but not at the cost of settling.
Yeah.
And it's so easy to settle when you're lonely.
Mm-hmm. I do want to say, like, you were saying we want to be strong, independent, happy with ourselves. But usually the road does tend to be a bit messy. Maybe messy is not the right word, but it could be rocky for everyone, right? You have to make mistakes to get there. It's not going to be perfect. No, yeah, one just one day is happy being alone, right? As humans, we want that connection with people. And we strive for it. So that road, whatever it is, like you're going to have ups and downs, make stupid mistakes. You're going to have those dopamine fixes. I have, you know. But as long as you're heading in the right direction and you feel it, then I think it's okay.
Mm.
Yeah.
Dopamine fixes is what is what we call them.
And what we call them.
Yeah. I mean, go ahead.
Okay, I was just going to say, it was crazy at the end of the service today. At one point, the pastor had us pray with someone next to us. So this random guy and I, we held hands, closed our eyes, and just prayed. And after the service, he just said, oh, hey, I don't know if you're in a relationship or not, but when we were praying together, I just sensed that you're going to find the man of your dreams soon. Or not soon. He just said, be patient. The man for you is out there. You just have to be patient. And it was just weird having a stranger tell me that.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know what to take of it, you know? Because he could just be saying anything. Let's be real. But
he could also be telling you, like, be patient because the man of your dreams is out there.
Yeah.
You know? And I think that's what you should take it for.
No, exactly. But it was just very unexpected.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's so cool for him to say that, though, like, in this time when we could be like, someone take me on a date! Where are you at?
Yeah.
But no, like, this is the time to realize, like, your dream is at the other side of patience, is at the other side of, like, self-acceptance. And what we talk about all the time is, like, not looking, just full presence with where you are right now. Like, which you try to find will run from you, but once you're just, like, attracting it, like, specifically with love, it'll come to you.
That was really good.
Really?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, what did you say? Your achievement or your goal is on the other side of patience?
I said your dream man.
Your dream. Okay. Yeah. Your dream
man. Yeah. But, like, patience is such a tricky thing in times like today. We want to fight for what we get and what we have and what we want.
Yeah.
But when it comes to love, there's, like, a different exchange there. It's not, like, where money requires hard work and drive and ambition. Love requires is different. Patience and peace and self-love and self-acceptance. It's very different, especially as a female. We actually wait. Traditionally, we receive. That's, and I think naturally, more traditionally, and I think you do too, because we're both raised culturally.
Yeah.
You should share what we talked about like how families are to you.
Mm-hmm.
And to a different culture group about being individual.
Yeah, I love talking about culture with you.
Me too.
Right. Okay, so we were talking about family units and how it just differs culture to culture. Like, in a lot of brown families, I'm not going to say all, just for the sake of, you know, there are confounds and whatnot. But there's a lot of brown families where our family is run as a unit. Right, so it's not a bunch of individuals, it's a family unit made up of individuals, right? So we all work together, and that's really big in third world countries because that's just how they function, right? Everyone pitches into the family, everyone works, helps out the dad, the females help out the mom with the cooking and all that. So that's where it's from. It's not as hardcore here in my generation, but I still get that sense from my family, where everything we do is together, all the family functions, events, we show up as a unit. Actually, like, our unit's huge. Like, in my house, there's 12 of us, so we literally show up as a unit. And you've seen my family dinners. Your family
dinners are a whole party. Like, it's a whole road.
Yeah, but that's what I'm used to. And a big difference is, like, finances, right? So money in the family, it's shared. It's everyone's money. It's the family's money. It's not just my parents. So, you know, they're providing for my education and all this stuff. They want me to be set up for success, like helping me get on my feet. And once I start making money, then that's when I give back to them, right? But in a lot of, you know, Caucasian white families, you hear that they're getting kicked out of the house at 18. They're all on their own. And it teaches them responsibility. But it's just, like, very different from what I'm used to. It's like, how could you not give love and protection to your children when they need it? You know, because that could be affecting their studies and how well they do. So what's your stance?
I think that kids can vary, like, the side effects of children being spoiled are a lot higher.
Yes.
Because, like, I think it's a risky thing to give your child everything that they need.
Yeah.
Especially when you can. Because it's, for a man to be in lack, you're forced to fight for what you could get. And that is a skill, to be able to fight for what you know you deserve and what you know you can get. But you can't learn that if your parents are giving you everything you need all the time. And so, mm-hmm. in a sense, I understand, like, I always call it the American way,
yeah.
of prove your own adultship and responsibility at 18 years old and show the world and society that you can do it. Maybe it's not showing, but, like, prove it. Mm-hmm. However, like, in the cultured way, it's really a team effort. It's a team effort the whole way. And, like, you don't grow out of your family. And I think that is a very culturally beautiful value. You don't mm-hmm. get 18 and all of a sudden you're free from your family. Like, brown families, for the most part, if they're more traditional, they stay together till they die. Like, living in the same household, all, like, having a hard time moving apart, living like a bunch of people together.
Yeah.
That's just the way it is, and it's beautiful. But I will say that I feel like if you do things outside of your family and outside of your, like, tribe, like, you're gonna face more loneliness. Mm-hmm. But I see how, like, your brothers have navigated what your parents have given them, and they don't have this entitlement to their hard work. Like, they work hard for everything. I just think that unless there's a system like the Punjabi way, from what I've observed, that is a good system. But someone where my family were, like, half brown, half Americanized,
yeah.
creating different ways for us, like, it's different. And for American families, like, a kid that's on video games all day, gets mommy and daddy to pay for food and gas and car, they should face reality and, like, realize that life is actually pretty hard when you do it on your own at 18 years old, yeah. that you shouldn't play video games, that you should only be working and making rent, because rent is expensive in the Bay Area. So you see how I go back and forth?
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with it. Like, there's pros and cons to both. There's a lot of brown kids who just can't cook or clean or do anything. Mm-hmm. They're often the boys, and that's why it's so hard to get a freaking rishta for me.
To find you a Punjabi man?
Yeah, that's what it means. I'm glad you, like, knew what it meant from the context.
Yeah, I didn't know what you said. I'm like, she means Punjabi man.
Because they're all, like, dependent. Like, they don't know how to do stuff by themselves.
But that's kind of cute, though. Because, like,
in a man?
Not in a man, but, like, if he can't... Okay, I'm so old-fashioned to a default, like, red flags.
Girls can get away with it. Guys can.
Like, I love the fact that I don't know anything about my car. And it's just, like, I let men help me. And I feel like it's this male-female difference that I think that keeps me feminine. Because when my tire doesn't work, at one point I would tell my dad. At one point I would tell my ex. But it would just keep me, like, yes, please help me, because I have no idea how it works, you know? Mm-hmm. And so for a guy to not know how to do something, I feel like it's kind of cute to help them. If it's, yeah. if it's like cooking or something.
If it can be changed.
If they can fix a tire and make a fire and fix the gutters, like, that's thumbs up. But yeah. something like in the kitchen, I think the traditionally done stuff is adorable.
Okay, we disagree on that.
You don't think it's adorable?
Well, they have to be cleanly, at least, bare minimum.
I love clean people.
Minimum. No. The military guy.
Why did I went into a fair share of that on the podcast. But yeah, cleanliness matters.
It does.
In, like, masculinity of you go do the outside stuff, please. Mm-hmm. You take out the trash, you fix the gutters, you fix the doorknobs and the windows and the toilet, and I can cook.
Mm-hmm.
But if you cook too, that'd be super cool.
Yeah, bonus points.
Bonus points, whatever.
But what were you even talking about?
Brown families.
Oh, family dynamics.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely do see the cons of, like, my family dynamic. It's, first of all, my family dynamic can be toxic, as you've seen. Because they use that, like, them taking care of you, protecting you financially, in all ways, it can be used as leverage too. So that's where you've seen me, like, I'm trying to break away from it and be independent, like, start working full-time and just pay for my own stuff. So I do have that, like, will and drive to do that. But there are families, like you were saying, like they get so, what's it called? They don't, dang, I can't even think right now. They don't appreciate what they have.
Mm-hmm.
And they abuse it.
Yeah, that's very true. That's the thing that we'll just have to navigate when we have our own family. You know,
I think we're already talking about our kids having play dates.
We're already talking about our future husband, our children having play dates.
Us being neighbors, having those backyards that connect.
Oh, I love those backyards. I had it growing up. Shared split fences all the way.
Yeah.
Our kids will know each other for sure. And I think it's a beautiful thing to be able to talk about your dreams and desires with a friend, because like we've talked about how our friendship is pretty intentional, but we also value the right things that could better our future. You know, I don't care to hear for 5 hours about what you did last weekend when you blacked out, whatever. Like, that's cool. I want to know. But I also want to know what you want your future to look like.
Yeah.
You know, like the values of your heart, how you do want to have a family. Because these days, people don't want family. They don't really care to find intimate love. They find peace with hookup culture. And because it's everything you could want, like, don't want to talk, bye, want to hook up, come, I'm done with you, no responsibility, you need money, mm-hmm. bye. But if you need somewhere to sleep, come. Yeah. Easy. But the dream, that's what this needs to be acknowledged. Mm-hmm. How do you know what your dream is?
I know you asked me today, what's your overall big dream? And, you know, I have a sense of how it will look like, how I feel, like my sense of mind, you know, like financial freedom, time freedom and whatnot. But I told you, like, I can't give you an answer because every year something's going to change. Like, life is always changing. What I want now is going to be different from what I want in 5 years. So I can't tell you exactly what I want my life to look like. I just know the feeling of what my life is going to be like.
Yes, that's good.
Yeah.
And we were talking about that, like, you can't focus so much on the destination where you don't appreciate the journey. And that's what happens when you do something to prove something wrong, to prove someone wrong. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, people are like, oh, I'm just going to prove them wrong because they never believed me. And then you accomplish it just to prove them wrong, but you're not fully satisfied. You want to be so in love with, let's say we've been involved with fighting more, right? To being the best fighter at your weight in the world, at making it to UFC, that's your dream and that's your goal, and you'll do whatever it takes to get there. So you love the days where you're training hard, where you're mm-hmm. losing weight, where
the passion.
The passion, that is life right there. Like, that is when you're doing it, when you're on the pursuit of your dream, even if you haven't achieved it, but you're on the pursuit. And like, I think that's why you and I have peace right now, because let's face it, a lot of people are struggling, like depressed, suicidal, cutting themselves, anxiety. There's so much real pain. And so when I have peace, I'm like, I have this and I want to teach someone else how to get it. It's just like the simple, this big dream, I'm in the pursuit of it and I will get there, but I'm getting there right now. Yeah. You can't tell. I can't tell that you're doing your medical stuff, you know, but you know, like, you're on that pursuit, that there's this, like, this piece, like, I'm on the pursuit.
The pursuit of happiness.
It's the pursuit of a dream that creates happiness. Would you agree?
Yeah. And that's what really saves people is passion. When they find that passion and they're willing to work for it and take those steps, it saves people, like, from drug abuse, alcohol abuse, from, you know, for example, poverty. Like, obviously that's a different situation, but like, really, passion saves people.
Mm-hmm.
We're born to have a passion. I think everyone has at least one passion, and we're spending our life trying to find it. Some people don't find it just because mm-hmm. not given those opportunities or don't seek those opportunities. But that was a big thing in college for me, is I kept bouncing around in different sciences, just trying to figure out, shit, like, what do I want to do? It started as dietitian, then physical therapist.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, PA, that one feels right. And then now I'm just going with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I remember that. Like, I just remember you sitting down. You're like, okay, I think I'm going to switch it. And I'm just like, okay. To me, it's the same thing.
I know. It's just very stressful.
PT
very
to PA.
Yeah. It is stressful, though, because there are college graduates who spend 4 years in college and they're like, fuck, like, I regret doing that major, or I regret doing that. You know, fun fact, a lot of college students, they don't end up using their degree. A lot of them end up doing something completely different because of connections, or maybe their degree got them that job, but they're not exactly doing what they learned.
Mm-hmm. That's what's so interesting.
Right? Yeah.
And I talk about this often, but like, you went to college. I did not go to college. Mm-hmm. My career is going to look different. You have a more predictable plan for your career, but everyone's career is so unpredictable. I feel like if you do like communications or psychology, your major, your career is going to look so different, unless from psychology you go to therapy and then become a therapist, you know. But there's such general majors where I'm like, you're not going to use that and you don't need it.
Oh, well, you know, I'm not going to use it. Like, I did that to do the prerequisites for grad school.
But it was fun, huh?
It was fun. That's why I chose psychology.
Yeah.
But I did the bioemphasis because I'm more like science oriented, mm-hmm. like learning the brain
yeah.
and anatomy.
But I always tell you this, I really love how you did college.
Hannah doesn't know many college people.
I do. I just don't know how to talk to
them.
How
did I do college?
Man, I just feel like you let yourself fall in love first. And you just...
Off the bat,
off
honey.
Off the bat.
And came out of nowhere.
I like him, you know? Like, he was just a good person to be around when that time was a thing. And he, like, mm-hmm. you guys looked out for each other. It was a good relationship. And you focused on your studies. You did soccer. You had social time. And then you did your studies. But you really found joy in it, and now you're pursuing a career that is dependent on your college degree. And like, yes. that's the part I appreciate, because why go to college if you don't use what you learn and study and accomplish? But also, why go to college if you don't soak up all of those social experiences and like meet someone and fall in love and mm-hmm. make a new friend and like roommate life and going to parties? That's the part that college is too, that really matters. Like, I don't think I missed out on much of education except for grammar and like different studies that just widen your understanding, but I do that naturally. It's the social aspect of college that I'm like, that's so cool. Like,
it's priceless.
Go to freaking what's the place that we go,
Parkside
in the pizza spot,
Woodstocks.
Yes, Parkside and Woodstocks, college experiences. And yeah. like, that's what life's about, having like those fun experiences. But I like how you did it, because you came out self-aware, not lost to substance abuse or lost to lust. You're just yeah. like, I got my degree, I'm living life, I'm enjoying my friendships. And I'm like, respect. If I were you, I'd want to go to college just like you did.
Remember what you told me? I took you to the UC Davis gym. And you're like, dang, I'd go to college just for the gym.
Yeah.
What's your major? Gym.
Gym. No, when I was at one of your kickbacks, someone was like, yeah, I studied. Like, that's like the only question that people at parties know how to ask these days.
Oh, that was funny.
What's your major? I'm like, I heard that like 5 times. And I'm like, okay. Biochemistry.
Everyone's like, oh, wow.
Oh, you're so smart.
That's also what I don't like with the college.
Biochemistry?
Spit something at me. Spit a fact.
Biotin.
Biotin, okay.
Boron. B-O for boron. Chemistry.
Bam, chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
I'm impressed.
I almost failed chemistry. Anyway, what were you going to say?
I almost failed chemistry, too. It's okay.
You can't fail chemistry.
I don't know what I was going to say.
That's okay.
Yeah, it's okay.
There is a thing on a podcast called Brain Farts, and I learned it on my last episode with Benji, and it was actually like, once you forget what you're saying, it's called a brain fart. But it's really like the concept that these podcasts are just as real as it freaking gets.
That is true. Like, we really did not plan this. We have wine.
Yeah.
We're just going with it.
Yes, because this is the truest version of us. This is our honest expression. And a big priority of this podcast is to be real, to feel like you can connect with the artificial side of us, artificial technology side of us, and to get like real thoughts, real advice from us going through life, whatever that looks like. But you know what, Annie? Let me ask you a question.
Go for it.
Let me ask you a few questions. Can I ask you a few questions?
Okay.
2022, we're in February, right?
Yes.
What was your favorite experience of 2022?
Favorite experience?
I know, I'm sorry.
I pick one thing.
I kind of last minute threw this at you.
One thing last
the year. First thing that comes to mind, and it's more of like that feeling. The reason why you think of it is because of the feeling you got.
Being out there. Why is that funny?
Because, like, 2022 was the first year you were single.
That's true, yeah.
And you're just, like, being out there, man. It's crazy.
It is crazy. No, just, like, not being shy to new experiences, not being shy to letting myself open up a little bit more.
Yeah.
And being a little bit more vulnerable. Mm-hmm. It was exciting, to be honest. Like, yeah. It was very new for me. I got a lot more expressive. A lot of that is because of you, I feel, because you ask me these questions that really gauge my mind to start thinking about different things.
Really?
Yeah, and it's really changed the way I talk to people too, like the way I talk to my friends. Dang. The questions I ask, how I make them feel.
That really means a lot.
Yeah, you really have like changed the way I think.
Thank you.
About life.
That makes you want to cry.
I know, you're blushing.
I am.
But yeah, last year, I don't know if that was a takeaway lesson, but really putting myself out there, and with that, you make mistakes, you learn things, and you grow from it. I wouldn't take back anything I did, but this year is New Year, and I've made those mistakes, I've learned from them. This year is really about getting my foot in the door with healthcare, like I've been doing, and really just starting to build my healthcare career, and I'm really excited.
You just finished your first week.
Excited. Yeah, and I've just about to get my state phlebotomy license. I've been applying to jobs and gonna start volunteering at the Red Cross. That's about to happen, so a lot of things coming up.
I'm so proud of you. Annie, what are you down to the core truly passionate about?
Helping people, and the way I want to help people, for the biggest part, is making them smile. You're just so cheesy. But that's how I get my dopamine, is getting people to smile because of something I told them or made them laugh. Like, it makes me feel a certain way. And I only found out, like, recently, like, this is my biggest source of dopamine, is really just making people smile. And the other way I want to help people is obviously through healthcare, providing them that support, not just like providing them the service, but that support human to human, which is what I feel like all healthcare providers should be able to do and should do, like not just do it for the paycheck or the money, but really connect to the people and being mindful of their situation, their background, and giving them the tools they need to get better.
Dang, I love to hear that.
Yeah. So can I ask you that same question? Like, what is your purpose?
Casually?
Yeah, casually.
I feel like my purpose is quite similar to yours, like to help people in the presence, like person to person, you know? And and the fact that with technology, I could reach more people. I wish I could just tell them, like, your life is worth fighting for. Follow your passion and find that emotion and feeling of being alive inside, and that you can contribute to the world in a beautiful way. Like, health, fitness, to feel good inside and in your own body, that's cool, but I just want to help people, like, to be of service to humanity, the same exact mission as you.
You really do. Like, you'll be, it was funny, a few weeks ago she texted me, I'm getting anxiety, I'm feeling really anxious, so I got really worried. I just came out of the gym at night, I'm like, oh my god, let me call her. And she, what were you anxious about? Why were you having this anxiety that scared the hell out of me?
Well, okay, it's not even gone, but I don't even know why you're bringing this up, but ChatGPT just was released. ChatGPT. So this is a new AI technology that's going to allow you to pretty much ask anything to a online software, and that was really overwhelming because that's going to be a lot for us. Like, that's a lot for humans. It could turn humans into superhumans and robots into zombies, you know? Like we're faced with a lot of different problems now, but that's why we have to use this ChatGPT to leap us forward as humans and help people. Like, use all of the technology to come back to human problems that we can share. But it was a lot for me because I can ask a lot of questions.
Yeah, and you would.
And I do.
Yeah. So, to put it simply, I called her and she's like, AI's taking over the world. And I'm like, oh my God, Hannah, this is just another Hannah moment.
You're just like, Hannah, this isn't what people normally get anxiety about.
I know, that's actually what I said to you.
I just don't know if we're ready for this kind of technology because we're not very grounded in
ourselves. I don't think so either. Yeah. I don't get why resources and money are being put towards this when they should be being put towards saving people's lives and healthcare and... Yeah. Literally anything else.
Yeah. We just need a little bit more time to be there for each other.
I think so too. Yeah. We can't lose our sense of humanness.
Yeah.
Of being human.
I think we can create that, Annie.
Yeah.
Like, let me say it right here. I think you and I have what it takes to really create a community of people to come together and just, like, as free as we can be to be transparent, we can be like, guys, like, let's work out because life is short. We need to be around human creatures that have good intentions and that can have each other's back if it comes down to it. Like, people need each other, and I'm proud of you for your the times that you're creating in your hometown, like in your home space. And I'm so proud of you for that because we need each other. I don't need each other because I have so many each others.
We need transparency.
Transparency. Mm-hmm. And people in our lives to have our backs.
Yeah.
Where do you want to be in 1 year?
In 1 year. That question. Wait, say why you asked me that.
Okay, I asked her that because in church, they were like, this time next year. They're like, say that to you, the person to your left and to your right 5 times or something like that. I'm like, this time next year. And I'm like, I don't really know what that means, but it's going to be good. But I was also feeling it. Like, I was feeling the intensity of whatever's happening this time
next year. I didn't know what I was feeling, but I felt something.
I felt whatever that something was. I was like, yes.
Yes.
That's why I'm asking you.
Next year.
Where will you be next year?
Next year. Next year, I hope to be applying for grad school. Next year, I'm going to be a very strong, independent, single woman.
Do you want
to be single? Unless I get cuffed. Who knows?
Do you want to be cuffed?
It doesn't matter what I want. Because what I want is not what's going to happen.
Is this some freaking...
Remember we were talking about this, like, trippy when talk. It comes to work and career goals, what you want you can get because you create those sub goals. But with love, if you just have this desperation, that's the energy you have that you're broadcasting to the world. And I don't know how this works, but the world, you can say God, whatever you believe in, that energy is not gonna be just easily reciprocated.
She wants
you.
Love. Give it to her.
I get it from you, honey.
This is true. I agree.
Yeah. So I can't predict that. But what I do know, what I can control, is that I'm going to be working full time, getting my experience in healthcare, creating that difference in whatever way I can, just being the best version of me as a person, individual, as a friend, as a sister, as a daughter, as a healthcare professional. And that, yeah, that really would just be the best thing for me, just being the best me.
Mm-hmm. I'm really, really proud of you. I mean it. I'm really proud of your pursuit for everything that you're focusing on and prioritizing, like your ability to be a good friend, a good student, and a good daughter all at the same time, because those roles could all be so contradictive, you know? Mm-hmm. But you're so present with what's important, but also the other side of what's important.
Yeah.
Love, connection, relationships, your family, future, your career, and your, like, finances and career. Like, you have such a good balance of that, and I'm thankful to see that, because, like, I want to see more people like you in this world. More people that... that are ambitious for their own career, but are also human enough to connect with humans and have that sense of integrity and loyalty in their relationships to have their people's back, but also not financially struggling, because like I want to see both for the people that I love.
Yeah. So in addition to where you think you'll be in 1 year, what's something new you want to do? Two questions.
I know this podcast will be really doing really well next year. I feel like sky's the limit for this space. I'm meeting with 3 new strangers. Well, one's a half stranger, but 3 new strangers. And that's just like, I think something new that I want to create is a very clear and intentional community of people that come together. Right now, everything is me working on my own, and then I'll go train for jiu-jitsu. I'll meet new strangers and people from podcasting, and then I'll go work with Daniel and receive anything he has to teach me. But this time next year, I want to have like a community of legendary thinkers come together where we either like work out, or we give speeches, or we share our passions and purposes, and it's just different and weird. But
that would be really cool.
A powerhouse of people.
Yeah.
Where I can be like, oh, that person over there, like this person can change your life because of their message here. Oh, that person over there, oh, they're a master in this area. Go talk to them.
Just connecting people together.
Oh, it feels so good. That'd be sick. This time next year.
Yeah.
February of 2024, I'll have a very powerful circle of like people that love humans. Mm-hmm. That's the most important part. If we love humans long enough, we'll be okay.
Long enough.
Till we die.
Blood pack.
Okay, let me ask this one last thing.
Okay,
specific. I'm asked two last things. So there's a lot of people right here that are facing Valentine's Day single, and yeah, you're gonna come out here, like you're gonna be published a little bit after Valentine's Day, but I still want you to speak from your heart of like this, of what you're feeling right now. What do you have to say to someone that is single, that is facing loneliness, that is discouraged that they'll ever find their person, wants love but doesn't know how to get it? Speak to them.
Gosh, Hannah. Okay. Well, the first thing I want to say is that there are other ways to fill your cup. And I find the biggest way to do that is either through family or friends. Not everyone has that kind of community. So it really starts by searching within yourself. What truly makes you happy? Like, what are your hobbies that you want to do? Who are the people that you want to surround yourself with, right? So the first thing you need to do is create an environment that supports you, having a supportive group. So, you know, if you have alcohol and drugs all around you every single weekend, maybe rethink that. Are your friends supportive? Is your family supportive? Are you giving time to these people? Are they giving time to you? I think first distinguishing the not only your internal environment, like within yourself, but your external environment would be a good start. Because from there, you could start seeing the issues and things that you want to change, mm-hmm. right? So I think starting from there would be good. Everyone's journey is different.
Yeah.
It's just hard to give very general advice on this because it's so situational. But I think starting from there would be good.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. And then everyone has a message that kind of like sits true to their season of life. You know, like stay classy even if the... No, I'm not saying it. That is a seasonal like piece of advice, right?
That was last season.
But what is your message that you want to share right now, aside from anyone's love life or anything like that? What do you feel like you have to share from what you feel?
I've been on this life high.
Yeah.
Like this happiness high, and I'm just riding with it because mm-hmm. I know where I find my happiness from, my family, from you. And so I just surround myself with it as much as I can before I start working like full time. Mm-hmm. So you, my family, and my gym.
And my gym.
No, the gym too. That's like
so cool.
I, you know, like find what makes you truly happy and like invest more time in that. Mm-hmm. Right? Like people are so miserable, like working their 8 to 5 that they neglect their hobbies and things that really make them happy because they're too tired. But you have to see it as a investment. Mm-hmm. It's an investment to your own happiness, to yourself. It's worth it. Like, you might be tired, but tiredness is just an excuse.
Yeah.
You hate that word, tiredness. I'm too tired.
No, it's true. Or tiredness, I'm too bored. Is an excuse. I'm so bored. All good. Go.
Yeah. Just give it a shot. You know, like, see how it is. Change your schedule to where you could be happy. You know, that should be your first and foremost goal in your life right now, is to be happy. And if you're not, then make it happen. And people feel so powerless that they can't do it. But, like, that right there, you already have that initial roadblock. Like, what do you think is going to happen?
Aw. Annie, I love you so much.
I love you, too.
You enhance me as a human. And I just want to say that it's really cool to hear you, from the evolvement of our friendship, mm-hmm. be, like, telling your story and helping people and sharing your, like, heart for other people. I really love
it. It's really new to me, just putting it into words. Because yeah. you talk about these things all the time, that mm-hmm. you just flow really nicely. But for me, it's like, okay, how do I word this? I have these thoughts and feelings, yeah. but putting it into words is really new to me.
Yeah.
So, like, bear with me, everyone, doing this podcast. No,
it's just so beautiful. Like, because I know you're not used to this. Like, you can tell me some science stuff and I won't understand anything. But to hear you express, like, these deep places of your heart, I see it for what it is. And it's so beautiful. And, like, I wish this for people to be able to face their own emotional perspectives on things and their dreams and desires. And you are so far beyond equipped to help people in any capacity.
And I think just the first step is speaking it into existence mm-hmm. and talking about it, because like you said, like, these things don't get talked about very often mm-hmm. like in your day-to-day conversations with your friends. So I think there has to be those people scattered around the world who start that change.
Mm-hmm. I know.
And you're that person.
We can reach people from different parts of the world.
Reach people. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I mean, cool. You just got featured on the Arabic page.
Arabic Leaders.
Arabic Leaders. They reposted your reel.
Mm-hmm.
That was insane. So random.
Because they felt my love and my energy.
Mm-hmm.
They felt that I want to help. And that's everyone that wants to help people should be given a platform to do that, to do so. And it was cool to see that, because it was all translated into yeah. a different language. I was like, wow, that's beautiful. But you're going to do that for multiple people. You won't know their language. You won't know much about them, but you'll get to help them in a literal manner. I'm helping in the philosophical and mental and maybe health and like workout space mm-hmm. way. But you're going to be helping the parts that no one understands. Blood. Needles, like the whole, like, you need to get certified in doing this. So that's gonna be cool to, you know, connect on helping different types of people.
Yeah,
well, we're at an hour now.
Dang.
Did that go by fast or slow to you?
It went by fast.
Yeah. Okay, what does elevate mean to you?
Elevate, it means elevate your mind, your existence, your consciousness. Elevate not just yourself, but the people around you. We elevate together as humankind, as one freaking race. We are one race, the human race. And that's how we should see it, life, you know?
Yeah.
So don't just spend time elevating yourself, but the people you care about around you. We're a team and we're all gonna win.
We're all gonna win. Oh, that was beautiful. Well, folks, thank you for listening. Thank you for supporting this podcast. Please subscribe and like and comment to support and grow the show. This was just me and my bestie. You know, I got multiple besties, though. But me and my bestie just being ourselves and expressing our truths, expressing our hearts for people, for humans, for the future of this next generation. And so, again, I just want to thank you for listening and supporting the show up to this point. You are loved. I love you very much. I give you my whole heart's powerful energy, and I hope the best for you to pursue your passion and your purpose. Keep elevating, please. You can do it, and have a lovely day. Goodbye.
Cheers to that.
I finished.
Cheers.